Well, hello and welcome to our little Ballymakenny TV, movie, book, podcast. Today, we are going to be joined by Joshua Condra.
No.
That's his intro. That's all he's getting. Connor Brown.
Hello.
Yeah. Lucas Hughes.
Buongiorno.
Ethan McQuail.
I'm dead inside.
Lovely. Aaron Caffrey.
Hello.
That is the most nervous hello we've heard yet.
Like I'm being held captive.
You are. And Isabel Parle.
Hi there.
Hey.
And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about The Truman Show.
To hit everything off.
I forced everyone to watch The Truman Show over the weekend. Some did, some didn't. Just about. And so I think this will be a fun discussion. Some things that I kind of want to talk on is the whole idea of The Truman Show, a perception of reality. What is real? Like, who here watched The Truman Show and then looked around the room seeing where there was, like, hidden cameras? It's like, am I going to watch? Where are they?
Personally, I'm able to, like, separate, okay, that's a movie, and don't, like, go off on paranoid rambles because the pink fluffy thing was...
Yeah, but it's
I
a
asked my dad if he was an actor straight away afterwards as he was rushing it with.
But like, wouldn't it be hilarious if the world actually did revolve around you if being told your whole life the world
are
doesn't
you saying,
revolve around
Aaron, are you,
you
saying the world doesn't
wouldn't
revolve around you?
Wouldn't it be funny if it actually did?
Aaron, that would be your worst nightmare, wouldn't it?
See, I think, like, as a movie, it's less a, like, the reality thing is there, of course, but I think, like, that's the most obvious thing. I think it's a very interesting critique of just the way we approach entertainment and just consumerism in general, where at the start of the movie, I think, is the most telling for the philosophy it's getting across. As philosophy, I might kind of agree with, where it's, like, they're talking about how, like, we're sick of phony actors, and it's kind of, like, revealing this thing of how people need it to be more and more real, and like they need like everything needs to be bigger, everything needs to be scarier, this needs to be look more real. And I believe it was Tolkien that said, if you know it's a trick, then it's a con, which I think is like applicable to The Truman Show in some ways, in the way that like it is all staged apart from like one man, so it is kind of like everyone knows it is a trick.
So before we get any deeper into this, I take it we're assuming the audience has watched The Truman Show.
Yeah, so spoilers for The Truman Show, little summary. This man, Truman, what's his last name?
Burbank.
He was adopted from a company, and his entire life has been televised, and so they create this entire dome, which is supposed to be a fake city, give him a fear of water so he never attempts to leave, and just that's basically it. They just record his entire life, his ups, his downs, his struggles. They even like they add different situations where his father would be an actor and then he would die in a storm or something like that, but everything else, like the whole idea behind it is so it's simulated, but Truman is the only thing that's real. And what you were saying about Terry Pratchett and that whole con thing,
Dare or Tolkien,
striving towards a sense of like more real, like you don't want to see fake actors. I think that it's kind of funny if we were to parallel it to YouTube families, where like the parents will record every part of their life and their children and monetizing it, and it's like this is scarily like getting to the point of The Truman Show.
Yeah, well, that's what it was about. I think a mistake that a lot of people make with stuff like The Truman Show or even like something as dark as 1984 is people go, oh, it's describing a futuristic situation, when a lot of the time, the people like George Orwell writing 1984 or the people writing The Truman Show are discussing a real life, like something that they were seeing at the time. It may not have like literally been taking place. I mean, to my knowledge, there isn't a giant dome somewhere, but
right behind a Hollywood sign, I mind
that's
you as well.
That's because we're in it, Joshua.
Oh yeah, all right, well, that makes a bit more sense.
That's why none of us has left here.
I won't. Well,
we're stuck
but
in
still,
school.
Like, there
John,
are
when was the last time you left school?
This entire podcast is just a ruse to quell any suspicions you have about
my God, you...
We okay. Are all actors. You are Truman Burbank.
Yeah.
That's my name. I thought my name was...
An ugly name.
Bojack. Anyway.
Who looks at their baby boy and thinks yes? Truman Burbank.
I think Truman is supposed to be a play on like the only
Truman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh my god.
The true man in a fake world.
I gained a brain.
Big brain.
They kind of lost the metaphor in Burbank. I don't think Burbank means anything.
Actually, I'm gonna see that. I'm gonna type up Burbank.
Anyway.
Burbank. That's ugly.
Bird Bank. Anyway. I think, the people writing the Truman Show were observing, like, something that was taking place in the world. Like, they were seeing, like, the internet is becoming more and more, tied with the way we live, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not like the phones are going to turn us into slaves. The internet has its uses, it's just... There is a danger to it as well in some circumstances, I think, like the way information is used, and of course in the case of the Truman Show, people's lives being broadcasted.
Josh, to bring you up on like the lie, everyone being slaves, have you ever watched Shaun of the Dead?
I have watched Shaun of the Dead.
Basically, it's the two, like, before the zombie attack and after the zombie, spoiler for Shaun of the Dead here. They're basically just living the same life, as everyone is just as... slave or zombie to what they do every single day.
Well, that's just the like zombie movies in general tend to have that kind of like, once again, it's a metaphor for capitalist consumerism. It's kind of always been that since like the 60s.
Are we talking about the Truman Show here?
Yes, we are talking about the Truman Show. So the
off topic. Or I mean to immediately drag it off topic again to a different movie. This movie came out in 1998, which is a year before The Matrix, which is probably the other big movie that tackles the same themes as it, like simulated reality. Is the world we live in the one that we perceive and we touch? Can we trust our senses? I like The Matrix, but hot take. Potentially hot take. I think this movie actually does a better job of addressing the theme of simulated reality than The Matrix.
Because I think it's a bit more terrifying.
With The Matrix, it's more of an action movie, so there's like it doesn't get involved as much in the like what it's like for the people. Gets more involved with the Truman Show. It's more like a drama and comedy, so that it kind of like mixes. It kind of like. Focuses on the elements of Truman.
I think leaving aside the genre, I think The Matrix is like a metaphor for reality, but I think like there's something about the Truman Show that's just a lot more frightening. Like the idea that it's not because a great machine is controlling everything, because in that there's a sort of comfort, because you know there is some evil you can blame it all on. But the Truman Show, it's human beings doing something awful. Or at least to my opinion, it's awful. It's up to you. I also think The Matrix works better as a metaphor for being trans, as the directors and writers of that movie, the Wachowski sisters, later came out as trans. And I think like it works far stronger as like viewing that, where the constructed world is more constructed by them in order to hide themselves.
And on an update when it comes to Burbank, Burbank is actually a city in Los Angeles where there's actually a whole lot of film studios. So I think that's a bit of an on-the-nose reference.
Oh.
So it's the only true man who lives in Burbank, kind of. Because the film studios are in Burbank, and then he's the only true man in the show.
Yeah. Mm. But I would argue, do you think that Truman becomes an actor by the end of it with his closing line? Because
yes,
he kind of realizes that this is a show, and he... gives what the audience wants.
There's actually a playwright who I think actually, I'm after remembering them, and that's actually a far better way of discussing it is bringing him up. I think it's Berthold, his first name is Berthold, but his second name is definitely Brecht. And what he would do, his theory of plays and stuff was that the audience knows it's a show. And so he would deliberately like have like an actor dress in a silly outfit for a serious scene, or have like a silver disc in like hung up on from the ceiling, and just like have a label across it, "Sun." And what he thought was, if the story is good enough, the props shouldn't matter. But he went on to deal with ideas of reality and stuff, and he was very good friends with another philosopher and playwright called Jean-Paul Sartre. And Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a play called No Exit, which is about three people who are in hell, and they realise that hell is not like getting whipped or anything like that, but they torture each other.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Now, very important question here. Who is your favourite character? Connor, go.
Very important.
I mean, Truman. It's a bit plain, but I just... Jim Carrey's portrayal, and I haven't seen much of his other work, but just it's such a step up from all the other normal comedy roles he does.
Mm.
And it's just so sincere, and he does an amazing job of painting a man whose world is falling apart at the seams.
Especially
true
with the
how many times are we gonna make
especially
that?
Especially with the like Atlantis theme where he's going around the roundabout.
Yeah.
That is
brilliant.
He is absolutely crazy in that scene, but just the way he plays the craziness, it makes us still like him.
Yeah.
How about you, Josh?
Like,
I think that Truman is definitely, like, as you said, Connor, it's like he is just a very, like, Jim Carrey does a very brilliant job of it. The roundabout scene, of course, in particular, is very powerful. And I think, like, the line, what, like, he refers to, like, going to the street full of casinos, and his wife tells him that, like, reminds him that he hates gambling, and he says, "I know, but I'm going to do it because I've never done it before." And it's kind of like a thing of, like, you could argue rather generically, though, but, like, it's a chaos versus order kind of thing. How does he break this order, just, like world he lives in? Well, he does it through chaos, through behaving completely out of what he is expected of him, and that's eventually how he breaks out. I think also one of the most poignant, like, it's very funny, like, watching it the first time, but it's actually a very poignant scene, is when he gets to the edge of the world, his world, and it, like, it breaks into it, and then he realizes, like, it kind of hit me watching it the other day, where it's like, not even the sky was real for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, it's funny, but it's also like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah,
wait.
And they play it as a triumphant moment, and I'm just thinking, this man just realized his entire reality is fake. Like, I was just thinking, you know, like, in music class, like in film music, they would have it so they would switch the music in a scene. You could easily do that for The Truman Show, and it would become a horror movie.
See, I think that it's not about a triumphant moment. I think it's left up to you, because you have the arguments made. You've had the argument made the whole movie that it's wrong, and then the guy at the end says, "But the world out there is no more real than the one in like that I've made for you." And Truman turns to him and says, like, more or less tells him to bugger off. But he says, he quotes himself. So he kind of, like, he simultaneously embraces, like, as I can't remember who said it, but said, like, he becomes an actor by the end. He kind of embraces the role he's been given while simultaneously breaking out of it. And I think, like, it's up to you, like, it's why it doesn't show you what happens afterwards, because it's left up to you. Okay, what do you think is better for Truman? Do you think he should leave? Do you think, where is he more free? And so on, like, so on and so forth.
Ty, prediction, Truman. Your favorite character?
No, actually.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character then, you traitor?
Edward Norton, the guy who actually ran the Truman thing. I think...
Oh, Stefan. Oh, no,
he's a very good character.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is it Christoph?
Yeah, his name is Christoph.
Played by Ed Harris, actually.
Oh, ignore me. But anyway, yeah, so basically the madman. So, like, he's so strange to come up with the idea of it in the first place, and then you see that he's attached to Truman.
Yeah.
And it's not a father-son relationship, because, like, then he would actually care.
He's
psychotic.
He sees himself as a god.
God, it does. And, like...
Even with his conversation with Truman at the end of the movie, it's kind of mirroring a sort of a conversations between Moses and God in the Bible.
Exactly.
Mm.
And I'd say one of the best quotes in the entire movie was when Truman was out in the sea, and so then you had the entire crew trying to create this storm to stop him. And then you had one of the executives saying, "You can't kill him on live TV." And then, what is this, Chris? He said,
"Yeah,
Chris
can."
Yeah, exactly. He said he was born on live TV.
Yeah.
So it's that contrast. Like, what was going to happen if this kept going? Like, were you going to watch Truman grow old, get, like, dementia, and then eventually die?
They were planning on filming, and I quote, "The first live conception on air."
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
With Truman's new romantic flame after Meryl had been scripted to leave him.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
And that's another thing. Like, when it comes to the father-son relationship, he's planning his wife. This is arranged marriage stuff. This is not right.
Yeah.
Christoph is a control freak. Simple as.
Well, literal
that's what he is, I think, literally in the story, that he is just, like, a very sick person. But I think, like, in terms of, like, metaphor, he is as a god. That's how he sees himself. That's what he becomes in his own way. I can't remember, I think it was from a Lovecraft story where it's, like, it says, like, man is as a god. when he does something. I really need to go back and reread a lot of stuff to talk about this properly.
I can't imagine doing that to a person. Like, I get bad, I feel bad when my sim gets hungry in The Sims. Digital
game. I will not,
oh no, make your food.
I had a family of Sims, and I deliberately put all the sliders up to make them look as weird as possible, and then put like an old guy in with them called Granny, and then I knocked the door off and left them in the house and wouldn't let them go to the toilet, and they all died one by one, and like child services tried to get in.
And
the only one I would look after was Granny, and Granny got depression because all of the people were lying around.
Why would you do that?
Because man is as God.
If you think hard enough, folks, there's a deep metaphor in there about existence in there somewhere.
So,
do you have any thoughts
Joshua
on the characters
in charge of
the show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ethan,
now,
your character.
Who's yours?
I'd have to say Sylvia.
Ooh.
Sylvia.
As in the one who formerly played Lauren Garland, the one who tried to tell Truman about the reality of his back in college.
I'm a bit sad that they didn't use Sylvia more.
I wish they
had used her more than just... Because she's in about a scene, which is in...
I counted. She's only in 8 minutes of the entire movie in total.
Out of an hour and a half.
But
so,
out of an hour and 49
that's
minutes.
That's the point. They try to censor her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
So
that's actually a valid point.
I think it could have been really interesting, though. I know the whole point of The Truman Show is it is exclusively through Truman's perspective to kind of hit on the themes and ideologies of the ideas of the movie. But I think it could have been really interesting, because we don't see that much about the outside world's reaction to Truman other than everybody loves him, he's this beloved figure around the world. I think it could have been really interesting to see more of Sylvia
and
the people like her on the outside.
When she was running down the stairs to go out the door, I thought, like for the first time when I watched it, not the second though, I thought that she was going to run into the streets and there were going to be people cheering and heading towards the dome. But no, she just leaves her house and then we cut back to everyone else.
Yeah, that pissed me off a little bit.
I
think that's where it ended where it should have. Because it's not about Truman's escape, it's about the Truman Show.
Yeah. And also, why would it be going on for so long if there were so many riots and stuff like that? So people do actually like it, and we do get to see the people who do like it. And we actually, the guy in the bath, he was actually pissed that Truman left. He was like, God damn, I wish it went on for longer.
No, he was cheering.
He was
clinging to a shower curtain like, yeah, he got out!
He
was clinging to a shower curtain like, yes, you got out!
It was so nice to show it was so cool to show the different people and their reactions, and they all really kind of care about Truman, you know?
Because they kind of
grew
up with
relationship.
He was on the air for 10,918 days or something.
That's 29. He's 29 when the movie begins, but according to that one interview halfway through the movie, at some point in the movie, he becomes 30. I mean, he spent 30 years in that goddamn dome.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Isabel, who's your favorite?
I have to say Truman. There aren't that many other characters that even the other characters, it's not really about them. They don't really focus that much on them. And we don't, know kind of their feelings or anything.
Mm.
So, definitely Truman.
Aaron?
I'd say Truman, but it was really heartbreaking when the wife was like, God, I can't do this anymore. Why are you putting me through this? This is unprofessional.
Yeah.
And it's just really sad to me that everyone in his life has to pretend that they're like his closest friends and his wife and his mother.
Yeah, and that point where his friend, his best friend, told him he would never like him.
So.
And he's been fed lines through his earpiece.
Yeah,
we don't see. Presumably these actors are spending upwards of 30 years inside of the dome as well. I mean, you gotta wonder, did some of them leave relationships in order to come and play pretend with this actor?
Truman's best friend, they said that they were together since the fifth grade. So
that fifth grade, I think, is 10.
I dropped out of
10, 11,
grade
or 12.
To run drugs.
Ow!
Okay,
yeah, I accidentally hit my wrist against the button.
So, K,
can you imagine? Because, like, that's too young to give consent to be a part of the project. So that means your parents volunteered you for this.
Yeah. They probably came with you. They probably came with you if we're being honest.
Oh, yeah, probably okay, like fake.
They were probably playing. Is it Daryl or Darren? His best friend.
Marlon.
Do you have the Wikipedia?
The wizard.
Marlon. What I think is that Marlon's parents were with him in the dome. So they like lives there 24/7, if you get me.
You've got to think though, like, did they tell him at age 10, like going straight into the dome, or did they have to sit him down at one day and have this Truman-like moment where they tell him his entire life until this point's been alive?
Yeah, it's really interesting with the kid on the bus that was like, ooh, look, that's Truman, that's the guy. And they were like, no, look ahead. And it's just really interesting, like, how do you tell kids to act to act like that 24/7? How do you tell kids that they have to do this, go to school, do exactly what you're told, don't look at that guy, don't act suspicious, because we have to make sure this TV show goes well. Imagine growing up like that. Like, that's gonna mess you up.
It's like being in a beauty pageant.
And then you have one.
Toddlers and tiaras.
And you can never vent it in public for fear that this one guy finds out and you are hauled over the coals by the corporation that controls your entire life.
And then you have a kind of thing where it extends into capitalism, where it is, by extension, you could argue it's a metaphor for the way America works, where both parties may differ in terms of America, Republican and Democrat may differ in policies very slightly, but at the end of the day, their interests lie with the people who fund them. And the people who fund them are oil barons and various other corporations, so they're never going to like move against that.
Let's also take into account that, according to the interview about an hour or so into the movie, like the in-universe interview, it was stated that literally everything you see on screen is not only a real item you could get, well, outside the dome anyways, you could buy them. Every single item is a complete advertisement for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even the advertisements themselves, like, it's most obvious with
the coffee, when Meryl's trying to persuade him with coffee.
And Truman just...
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to? You know, like, that stuff.
I think, yeah, that's like, and then you have, like, it's just one great big advertisement for...
Could have made it a little bit less obvious.
Yeah.
Like, is there, like, a quota that they have to meet? Like, you have to advertise these three projects in an hour.
Maybe. Oh, that's actually a good theory.
These three products in a day, more
because,
likely.
Because Meryl, every single time he's in a scene, he has the beer cans.
Yeah.
Which he's
and that's the thing that he opens with. It's like, this is a good beer.
Yeah.
Mm. Every single
slogan
scene.
For the beer.
I think it's really hilarious that, like, the bus drivers can't drive buses. The bus driver
is my favorite character.
The surgeons can't do surgery.
Yeah.
The guy in the surgery
that, like, made one little cut and I was like, okay, clean that up.
Actually, that's a really good point because, like, therapists and medical professionals in general, like, take an oath to do the best for their patients, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine if Truman went to therapy later in his life.
Yeah. And that's the other aspect, is like there was no way they could have predicted that he would be well adjusted at all. Like, what if he ended up having like some debilitating condition? What if he commits suicide?
Yeah.
Like,
that would be the first on-air suicide.
That is something that I thought. I think they thought they could
probably control that to a large degree.
To be honest, they've made him feel pandered his entire life, so they wouldn't exactly be giving him much of a reason to end his own life to begin with.
Yeah, but though I think that they kind of, like, you kind of get an insight into what, like, for all the fact he doesn't know the world is fake, like the way his social life is controlled, kind of, like, I think it hints that it's coming out in him in very odd ways, where, like, he talks to himself in the mirror, so it's kind of like, in a way, that's his only reprieve. Like, part of him knows that there's something off, and the only person that he can talk to is himself.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a very bad feeling. It is not a good feeling whenever you just have yourself to talk to, truly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to go back to the idea that he would, say, have depression or feel suicidal thoughts, and then what would they do then? Well, like I said, they nearly killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said himself, "You're gonna have to kill me!" When he was like on the boat, just screaming for the last bit, and then eventually the last wave hit him. Like, they were willing to do it. And I feel like Truman at that point had nothing to lose at all. So,
I think the point of that maybe would have been to give, because him leaving the dome wouldn't exactly be a dramatic ending for the show, but I think killing him would have been like the most outlandish dramatic ending for the show, and like
him going the same way as his father.
Yeah, it would have tied everything together nicely.
But his father didn't even die that way.
Which makes
which makes it good for TV, because it's a storyline that's being all tied together by his death.
Mm.
And that didn't happen, so I think that's why they tried to kill him.
Mm. Do you think if they did kill him, do you think there would be, like, you know the way there was, like, obviously a resistance against the Truman Show? Do you think that would, like, push them to be more of, like, a resistance?
Probably.
Mm. That is one thing which
probably because if I recall, the company that runs this, I think they call it Omnicorp, I think. Don't cite me on that, actually.
Which, actually, that's an ironic thing, because omnipresent always, like...
Okay,
you know,
that's definitely the name, then. This corporation, they probably just grab another unwanted pregnancy and stick them into the dome as well, because
I don't think that would go very well, though.
What if after Truman gets out, they just pick another person and do it again?
But I don't think that would go down very well with people, as they've seen them kill him.
Even putting aside audience reactions, we've seen that this is a company operating within the law, probably thanks to some lawyer. Within the law,
because technically,
with some maybe campaigning and pushing. But if they kill a man on live TV, like, that's not an accident. That was orchestrated by a group of people, deliberately with the intent to kill a person.
So murder.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: Truman isn't the property of any country. He is the literal property of a corporation. So normal laws would not be applying to him at all.
So your interpretation of it is like Truman just doesn't have human rights.
He's a product.
Legally, he doesn't have those rights.
Adopted by a corporation, not purchased by a corporation.
He's still adopted by the corporation.
Well, yeah, but if he's adopted, he still has his human rights and stuff like
that.
Ownership
and stuff. Like, can you own a person? Like, because by ostensibly he's a slave.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
His rights are already violated 24/7. People are paying for that. You know, people are paying for the merchandise. People are paying for like the celebratory Truman Show themed candles or something.
It's supposedly the most popular show in the Truman Show universe.
According to that 1 hour interview at the 1 hour mark, apparently 1 billion people were watching when he took his first steps. 1 billion people.
So after like 6 months, he was one seventh of the world or. What do you search up the population of in 1998?
It's pretty close. It was about 6 billion.
So 1 in 6 people were watching The Truman Show during that time.
Yeah.
Jane.
Imagine how many people were watching when he was in school, or when he got married to Meryl in the first place.
Well, Meryl probably, I'd say 1 in 2 would have been watching it.
Actually, here, I have a question, because I remember when he was looking through the... photographs, and then he was looking at the old wedding photos. He like zoomed in on Meryl's ring or something like that.
She crossed her fingers. So basically, she didn't mean it.
Oh, yeah, it's like when you say a promise and you cross your fingers.
So let's say, I'll go downtown with you tomorrow. cross my fingers. I won't go. I'm not going downtown.
For those of
you
following along at home, Lucas is currently crossing his fingers.
I forgot this wasn't recorded.
We should probably get like a camera for this, like they do with like a Critical Role or something.
Actually, just some more random thoughts I've had. Truman's a married man.
Yeah.
This show is being broadcast 24/7. I'm sure it's in a controlled environment, but
they do watch him sleep. So I have a feeling I know what you're about to ask.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I've realized his entire life is planned down to the actions of everybody in his life. That is perfectly controlled. Never mind question.
Yeah, and also,
she wanted to try for a baby?
They did say they wanted to film the first live on-air conception. They did say that.
Yeah, but no, at one point she says, Meryl says, do you want to come back to bed with me? I'll go, like, you know.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if they would have cut at that stage.
They've never cut transmission. They've never done that.
One of the people who were reacting said they never show anything. They always turn the camera around, some music plays. That's what they said.
That's what I realized. They perfectly control everybody's actions. They know exactly when it's going to happen. They can plan for it. But my second unrelated question was, if this is the most popular show in the world, why has nobody else done it as well? Like, sure, it's expensive,
yeah.
But it's within the reach of one single big company to do.
Why didn't Morgs not do it, like, with Mr. Beast and Morgs? There's always a copycat trying to replicate the success of a giant show. Like, 1 billion people watching the first steps.
Perhaps there's just too many people watching the show to want to make their own.
I guess.
Now I'm getting absolutely terrible ideas. I'm just thinking, what if they took the same idea, but either turned up the time or lowered it? So, like, it would be exact same scenario, but everyone would be, like, old English. Or make it so it would be more futuristic.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Kind of like Wonder Vision-esque.
You can depict any social structure you want.
Nazi Germany.
Just to see how it goes.
I'm picturing the Truman Show. It's like, oi, ye English
imagine this. You love a series. Some company adopts children and raises them to think they are characters from the novel.
Oh my god.
Tell you... I honestly wish I could say that fans would not pay more to see a TV show in which the actors are convinced they are the characters they are playing.
A good thing for that... Have you ever seen Bolt? The movie Bolt.
Oh yeah! That is literally the Truman Show, but for dogs.
He is convinced that he has superpowers. That is basically the concept which you had there.
Imagine that for every actor in a TV show.
That movie scared me.
Yeah. Look, even Toy Story. Buzz thinks that he's a space ranger. Or what is it? Space.
No, you got that right. Space ranger, yeah.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Thank you, Lucas.
Do you think the in-universe actor for Meryl, Hannah Gill, played by Laura Linney, do you think Hannah actually wanted to bear Truman's child?
No.
I feel like she would have known what she was signing up to, because they said this.
There is a thing called which movies use, where they basically have a fake stomach and stuff. Like, they can have like a plastic baby stomach and stuff.
Oh my.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of Glee and season
1.
Oh my god.
She pretends she's pregnant for like the whole season.
I thought it was like 12 episodes.
That was the worst season of the entire thing.
Never seen it.
I don't think so. Like,
it got so much better when Terry was gone.
I've never seen it.
Might be something that I wouldn't
it's
suggest.
Basically, a fake pregnancy.
Yeah.
I like to curse. I just cursed.
I don't think anyone heard it.
No one heard it.
Technical difficulties!
Drop this entire segment, it's fine.
Yeah, so,
The Truman Show.
Wait, would that
work? Like, this is... They are a married couple. I'm doing air quotes for everybody at home. They are a married couple. Like, let's face it, physical intimacy is something that kind of comes with the territory. Like, it's Truman's probably going to be identified over the course of a 9-month pregnancy that it's a fake plastic stomach.
Mm.
So, is the only option in that scenario to have the child? Like, how far are these actors willing to go? How much of their life have they signed over to this show? Yeah. How much are they being paid for this?
They're probably being paid, like a
they
lot
doing
of
the
money.
The game? Or
but
they
would
millions?
They be paid?
Because
they have to be
there.
Spend their money. What are they going to do?
They have to have the lifestyles that they are given. They can't exactly buy a fancy car or anything. It'd ruin the show.
Speculation for like what the world of the Truman Show is like. What if it takes place in a world where some kind of economic disaster has happened? And it is nigh impossible to survive in the outside world. You have to, like, you really have to hold on. So you have a kind of Great Depression times 10. And what if these are poorer people who signed up because what they're being offered is a world they can survive in?
That doesn't sound right, because when we do see glimpses of the outside world, it's pretty much...
Oh, yeah, it could have, like, it's over the course, like, 30 years have gone by, so, like, it could have recovered in the time since then, but these people, like, live...
That comes back to another point, as in... Is the Truman Show that entertaining to watch? Like, it's a normal dude in a white suburb in Florida.
I think if
it was the scenario that you're depicting of an economic depression is where the show started, like, it could provide hope to those watching it.
We've
seen with The Simpsons, like, we know everybody is attached to this main character, but, you know, we've seen people get attached to fictional characters as well. Is the show always going to be as popular as it is over the course of its 30-year run?
Like in the book Heartstopper, I'm attached to Nick and Charlie, like their relationship and stuff. And stuff like that. So let's say, what's your favourite book title?
Hunger Games. Which is funny.
You're invested in Katniss and Peeta's relationship and stuff.
How dare you assume that? You're not wrong.
Pizza's relationship.
Did you say
pizza's relationship?
No,
pizza. I don't even like the Hunger Games. And I...
Peeta, P-double-E-T-A.
Okay, that would have been... I've only watched the movies, and to be honest, that would have been a more interesting love story. Like Katniss, like, making out with a pizza.
Sponsored by Pizza Hut.
You know you're legally allowed to marry inanimate objects?
Yeah, someone married the Eiffel Tower.
Somebody married a PlayStation 2. And then they changed their name to PlayStation.
My PlayStation 2
is an old
one. Like, I don't think it would work, you know. I'd probably die before.
Yeah, I'm just a man and you're a plastic bottle destined to live for thousands of
years. Oh, no!
You like to
the Truman Show.
Yeah, I feel like we have sidetracked from the Truman Show.
Yep.
Yeah, so but it's also fun to sidetrack.
There's a point that I want to make here. Thinking about the Truman Show itself, like going back to Ty's earliest point here, think of those family YouTube channels, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. Do you guys think that it's right for parents to be able to monetize their children?
No.
And whatever.
No.
Yeah.
Simple as, because the kids cannot consent to it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Simple as.
And like, imagine when they're actually older, and then this is going to bite them in the ass.
Look at Eight Passengers.
I've talked about stuff like this before, where it's like, oh, can a parent monetize on their kid? And then like, I will say no. And people think it's contradictory of me, because I believe that stuff like sex work should be decriminalized or legalized. But like, as Lucas said, I think the difference between that is that in the case of sex work, it's like, adults.
Yeah,
like,
not children.
Themselves. Yeah,
they
like,
are
children themselves. Are separate to like.
Look at the
rights.
Eight Passengers. The oldest child got sent away to a really rough camp where people have died for disciplinary actions. And then when he came back, he didn't want to be on camera, but his parents forced him to be on camera and stuff.
You've got to ask in that case: is the parent asking in the best, acting in the best interest of the child, or in their own best interest?
Own best interest to make money. So that they don't have to get a proper, air quotes, a proper job.
But then again, like, you kind of have, like,
the argument that they're setting them up in a good future.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
What is more important to you in the end? Your child's freedom or...
Think about in, like, primary school or something. People get bullied for putting videos up on YouTube or something. People who have YouTube channels and stuff. Imagine what they are going through in school. Because they have like 3 million, they had, before like all the drama, had 3 million subscribers. Imagine like in their elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, what they are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
Also when they become teenagers and they just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's what happened to Eight Passengers. Like, they're basically gone now.
Yeah. But anyway... We should start wrapping this up. So final points.
I think the Truman Show overestimates how hard it would be to do that, because we see that it's powered by this ridiculous corporation, all this equipment and this massive dome that they constructed for billions of dollars. And you make the argument nowadays that all you need is a phone.
True. Well, yeah, I mean, that was before that kind of thing. It's only seeing the cusp of it.
True man.
Yeah. They did start with one camera, they did say.
The camera in the wood.
I want to know how the cameras work. Like, what are the cameras?
They have button cameras. They're like switch to button.
Like literally, like
cameras.
the size of this 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter button for those of you listening.
They probably used they probably had like all those buttons, so Truman thought they were normal. So that
also
they,
the one that's like the they have like a round thing on the edge of the screen. That's constantly following Truman when there's no one behind him. I don't know what that would be.
It'd probably be like the world's tiniest drone.
Or even a bird.
Maybe.
Probably disguised as like a fly.
But like, it was in the hospital when he was going to see his wife in the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was like trailing him and there was no one behind him.
We don't know that the world he's in is an accurate representation of reality. It might be that he's been told that paint needs to be applied every week and these people are just wheeling around painters on him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, he could have been conditioned to accept the world around, which would make their job, like, so much easier when it comes
to... Oh, yeah.
But the... to get a final point in, I will say that one of the most terrifying things just about reality is that most of the things we experience, we don't actually experience. It's our brain, our nervous system firing off. It's not when you touch something and you have that feeling, that feeling's in your head, and it's only ever in your head. So then you have the question of, even if the world you live in is real, is it ever real?
The Truman Show is reality bending. I'm very glad that we actually chose this one for our first topic, and I'm really glad that you guys managed to join and actually seem to enjoy it.
Very heavy stuff for a first episode.
Indeed, and it's only going to get even heavier with next week's one being A Silent Voice. But yeah, thanks again, and we will see you all next week.
Also, Almaria is going to be here.
Almaria, yes. That too.
Yeah, she was missing. You'll see her next week, though.
Right. Hi, Almaria.
Bye, everybody.